messages, I often use Cruden's Concordance that I received 63 years ago. And in the flap of my Cruden's Concordance is this little note. This is about 1948. May God richly bless you and your Christian life, your friend, Gus. That's the way he was. Now, I've used that. The reason I looked at this is the cover's falling off. So we taped it all back together, not with duct tape. We taped it all back together, and then I reminded myself of what was inside. Now, that little statement by Gus is sort of what I want to talk about today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul had a lot of adversity in his life. Man of God. But here we're going to see something about his heart, the heart of this apostle, his feelings. Now we know about his teachings, and we all enjoy his teachings, but here he's going to kind of open himself up to these Thessalonian believers. And we had the passage read for us, so you've got a little bit in mind what's coming. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. Now, Paul is very precise in his greetings and his relationships, what he wants to say. But he wants to enlighten these believers about how he feels about them. Now, it's good to be in a local fellowship. We're always glad to come back to the chapel here. Once a year, it's wonderful. Spend a week with the believers. Things change, you change, we change. Some of you don't know me quite well. That's to your discredit, but that's all right. Some of you don't know me hardly at all. Hopefully, there aren't any here who wish they'd never met me, but we try to form a family. We have children who are not any longer, they love the Lord, but they're no longer in the fellowship of God's people. They're no longer in any church at all. It's wonderful to be in fellowship with God's people, but not in the sense that you are an island, but it's a fellowship in which you can express yourself and be heard and be listened to and listen to others. So Paul had met these Thessalonians. He had preached to them. He gave them the gospel. And he saw growth. And it's good to remind each other. Now when we come every year, we see people, everything's polite, how are you, how are this? But there's some growth that we see in a person's life. And we like to comment on that. So he says to these believers, for you yourselves know. Now they're aware of something. Nothing's hidden. And when you come together in this fellowship of believers, like this morning, you have a certain knowledge base, certain expectations, certain people you see, some of them you see often, so you gravitate toward the ones you know the best. Now, in the little chapel that we go to in Ontario, they've just gone through a series of outreach programs. And a boy was baptized. So I was talking to some of the people, and years ago, we used to call people who came in, strangers. So this dear brother stands and says, I'm glad to see there are some strangers here today. Now the word stranger has changed its meaning. Stranger is, it's not good. It's not good to be a stranger. I was glad to hear Fred say, guests. You're guests. If you've been here for the first time or you come with a friend, we're glad to see you. You're not a stranger. But even our words, the way we greet each other, the way we talk to each other, our body language. Is this a fellowship of love? Now, Paul says to these, and they know. You know we came to you. Things happened. It wasn't a waste of time. It wasn't in vain. Now, it's great to come to as many meetings as you can of this local church. It's not going to be a waste of time. Now, everything may not be exactly like you want it or you think it should be. But that's the wonderful thing about being in fellowship together with the family of God. There can be differences and yet strength in oneness. Toleration isn't a bad word. But Paul wants to get things clear, clearly said to these dear saints that he deeply loves. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you, the gospel of God, in much conflict. Now for me, he says, to get to you, I suffered a lot. Things happened. I was badly treated. But they understood that you wanted to come to us. That's good. It's good to be able to visit each other. It's good to be able to fellowship together. So you get a call. Hi, this is Bob Thrall. I'd like to come to visit you. What do we do? What's he want to come to visit us for? Well, that's the man of God. He's going to tell us things about the Bible. We have all kinds of ideas. Well, why do you want to come? I like you. You know, it's so difficult. We all want to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We all want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Deep down, do you want good things to happen in this chapel? Or deep down, are you saying, I can't wait until they crash? Because they're heading for the crash by the way that then la, 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 la. There are all kinds of attitudes. Now, Paul says, listen, we were spitefully treated at Philippi. On our way here to you. Now, when we come together to worship, it says we should judge ourselves. Should judge ourselves. And then worship. And then participate, and then take. Not judge ourselves and say, oh, I'm not worthy, and then come and do nothing. No, 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 no. You judge yourself, you get yourself ready, you come, you want to be together with God's people. But things come into your life. Let's say, unfortunately, this week you had a very, very strong argument with a dear one in your life, but you had an argument. And that's in your mind. It's planted in your mind. You had this discussion, and you lost the argument, which is really bad. And you're going to come in fellowship and worship the Lord, and you lost an argument, and you're upset. Well, we're human beings. and we do silly things. But some things we've got to get straight right away. You got to get those things straight. You got to leave out all of this nonsense and foolishness and the flesh and the desires of the flesh. When you come into the household of faith to worship with God's people, you want your greetings to be sincere. You want your knowledge to be clear. You want your expectancy to be high. And you want to show love. Do you want that? I never thought about it. I just come to the meeting, read my Bible, see a few people, leave me alone. I'm going to get this done here. And I'm listening to you now. So far, you haven't said anything. So, you come with an attitude. But Paul's trying to get things straightened. When we came to you, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. We were bold. We had conflict. Maybe there was some conflict. Maybe some of you had feelings, but we were bold in our God. Well, it's good to see boldness. Boldness does not mean that you step on everybody else. No, boldness is your confidence in the Lord you love. Now, many, and we all feel this. Sometimes we just feel so shy about our faith and our life and our happiness and our joy that we don't know how to share it in the household of faith. Because you come in, and a lot of people, you look at them and they look as if you're standing on their toes. Oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to get that close. I didn't mean anything by, you don't know what you said. It had nothing to do with you. Many of us are so wrapped up in our own agonies, in our own hurts, that all we can say is, hello, and not more. I understand that. We understand that. But don't we want to have, isn't there a joy and peace in believing? It doesn't somehow, don't somehow we express joy together? Don't we want that, you know, things to tone down? On the way down here, you know, we stopped in restaurants, and we stopped in this restaurant, and the music was so loud. It was very hard to eat. But they're used to it. They're all walking around. How can they stand it? It is so loud. So I said, all right, I'm going to listen to it. Well, all right. What is being sung? What is said? Little, and I think affection, little of. That's about all I got. Now, when we walk together as children of God, there is times when we need to be loud, but there's times when we just want to sit down and listen to the voice of God coming from you, coming from the pulpit, coming from the Word, and that's something nice about that. You see, all of life doesn't have to be filled with lots of noise. The hardest part, I think, of many of our lives is when everything is very, very quiet. Well, there was much conflict. And we came and we boldly made Christ known. Even in conflict, we were still bold. Now, we have, I think, the mistaken notion that conflict brings withdrawal. Conflict, you withdraw. Not for Paul. Conflict brings renewed boldness. Now, I'm talking especially when it comes to your faith in Jesus Christ and the people around you are making fun of you, fun of your faith, fun of your Lord, swearing his name. We have a neighbor. Well, he does it. I think he does it despitefully because he knows we're believers. And unfortunately for him, his oldest daughter became a believer in the last 3 years. And so, and his wife sends emails, and many of the emails are very solid, but they have no commitment, and he is out of everything. Just no God, leave me alone. But his daughter, neighbors, who knows? Little by little. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. Now you may say, well, wait a minute now. What? Well, of course it isn't. This is Paul. He's God's servant. He met the Lord Jesus on the road, and he saw the light, he heard his voice, and he trusted him. He became his, the Lord Jesus became his master, and he was baptized. This is a man of God. Well, there were some who were preaching, he told us that in his Philippian epistle, not for the right reasons, not for the right motives. They were preaching. But he said, look, I didn't come here to take advantage of you. I came here to point you to the living God through the gospel. And we know what the gospel is. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. The gospel is built on the word of God, the revelation of God, and it concerns the salvation that God has brought to us through the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way, because Jesus said that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me or by me. Now, he preached that gospel. There was no error. We didn't borrow from the pagan society. We borrowed no ideas that would tear down the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't add to it. We didn't take away from it. We preached the gospel. And we didn't do it because we were trying to fight against the Jews or make little of their practices. No, he preached the gospel. Now, when we were in Quebec, as you know, and maybe some of you are of this persuasion, but most of the Quebec French people were Roman Catholic. And all of our ministry, that from my understanding, I don't think I did, I tried never to say bad things about what they used to believe. But there were other groups that wrote a book called The Ten Plagues of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, let's be careful. I know Muslims are coming in now. And you got all the cults. Preach the truth. Be positive. Now, there's going to be parts of that teaching that may cut against the person of our Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to talk about that. But there was no deceit in what Paul was doing when he came and preached the Gospels to these Thessalonians. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. I know at one time, Peter, who also preached this wonderful gospel, Peter got a little bit wishy-washy when it came to eating with the Jews and those who believed in circumcision. And Galatians talks about this. And Paul had to correct Peter. You can't do that. Keep the gospel pure. You can't add in and bring in all kinds of nonsense because you fear man. Now, I realize this. I realize this in the service. I realize this in our missionary life. When you preach the gospel, the real gospel of God concerning his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to step on some toes. People are going to react. I don't remember if I told you this story years ago when we were first starting the work in Quebec. We went to a park, Parc Sauvé. Our parents had come up to see us. My mom and dad from Tucson had been up there with my aunt and uncle, and they came to see us. And we all went to the park. And while we were in the park, there was kind of a bandstand there, and there was a man with a microphone and a man with an organ and two women standing there and three people looking at them. And they were having an outdoor meeting. And we used to do a lot of outdoor work here in Milwaukee. And I said to my dad, I'm going over there. My dad said, don't do that. Son, don't get, I want to go over there. I got to go over there. This looks good, but there's nothing going on. So I ran over there. And the man who was preaching, his name was Mr. Hercules, he was with the Baptist church, a small Baptist church. And I said, Mr. Hercules, are you done? Yeah, we didn't succeed, we're finished. I said, let me give my testimony. He said, you can't give your testimony in English. I said, I'm not going to give it in English. Because I knew he was bilingual, so we were talking English. I want to give my testimony in French. He said, are you able to give your testimony in French? Well, why don't you find out? Let me try. All right. Hi, everybody. This young man is going to tell you what Christ means to him. So I get up. Within 5 minutes, there were 150 people there. She says, I don't know what happened. It was just wonderful to give a testimony. And these people just came. That's not the point of what I'm trying to say. All of a sudden, because my I still had an English accent, what could I do? I was just learning the language. And they would say, maudit anglais, which means damned English. So I said, this is the word of God. And let me say it. Took it. They ripped it right in half. And I finished my testimony and walked into the crowd and began talking to people and witnessing to people. And everybody was astonished. My dad was crying. They're going to kill my son. They're going to kill my son. Come on, trying to save me from the crowd. And everybody left, but not the fellow who ripped the Bible in half. He came to me. He said, sir, I apologize. I know that was the word of God I tore, but I did it with the excitement of the crowd. But there's going to be persecution. If you are true to the gospel, there's going to be persecution. You don't preach to please men. That's why he corrected Peter. Peter was pleasing the false leaders, the Judaizers. No, you don't please men. When you preach the gospel, you please God. And you make Christ known to those who are without hope and without God. Now, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. Wow. Now, this shows us that Paul knew who he was. Paul knew his authority. He had seen the Lord on that road to Damascus. He was an apostle. Apostle had the right to do things and say things and demand things. Of course, this brings up an interesting point as we come to gather together as his people to enjoy the fellowship of the body. Sometimes maybe you feel you're not getting your fair share of whatever. Maybe some, look, young men, we want to see you grow. I'm glad there's an evening meeting where there's opportunity to let people, some of the men speak, and that's wonderful. But you may have a chip on your shoulder and say, that platform should be mine. And I wish the elders would wake up about it because I got a lot to say. That may be an attitude. Or the other may be true. The elders come to you and say, brother so-and-so, we'd like you to prepare a message. Oh, I can't do that. But you do it. We've heard you at the breaking of bread, and we want you, well, I really don't. Both positions are not good. It's not God who has given us a spirit of timidity and fear. He's given us a spirit of power, a strong mind. God has done that for us. I could have made demands on you. But notice, this is a lovely verse. Verse 7. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. You know, you read Paul and you read the other writers of the Word of God. This is one of those very intimate and lovely moments in Paul's expression, exclosure, transparency in his life. It's wonderfully stated. We preach the gospel boldly, but we did not come here making demands on you because of our position. The chosen one of God. No, I didn't come here that way at all. I was gentle. Do you know what it means, or what it is to be gentle? I'm not a psychologist, but this is really a feminine side of Paul. Even the illustration. He's never done that. He brings an illustration. That was never personal to him. It couldn't be. But he knows what it must mean to a mother. And there's something very beautiful about the relationship of a mother and a baby. Something that men can't experience firsthand, but they can appreciate deeply, that relationship. And it is a gentle, sweet, one giving, one taking, and yet in the taking, gives back. And that's what we need to do. We as children of God, there has to be that intimacy, that gentleness of spirit one with another. It's very winsome. My wife, she doesn't like when I make comments about her, but I'm going to anyway because she lives it. She's a very gentle person. Now, she just had a birthday. October 1st, her birthday. She got emails. I had a birthday August 23rd. I got 3 emails. She got... So I say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? One of the things the Lord was telling me, be gentle. She has another wonderful trait of what she does. She doesn't even know she's doing it. If I'm a little bit, I never get agitated, you know. I'm a very calm person. I'm not confrontational at all. All she does is she takes her hand and goes, I melt. I'm finished. You're right. Forget it. No words. But don't do it again. But don't you get that from here? From looking at that seventh verse. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Gentleness brings people together. Harshness pushes people away. Now, having been in the army and an outdoor gospel preacher, I have a tendency to raise my voice. Not wanting to. So guess who in the gentle spirit says, don't raise your voice at me. I didn't raise my voice. Yes, you did. I did. You don't know it sometimes. Sometimes you get, put that board there. Put the board there. Don't raise your voice. Doesn't sound like, you know, put the board there. Doesn't sound as strong enough, but it does the trick. And then verse 8. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. Well, he's saying a lot in that verse. And we're going to continue this study next week. My time's up. But think of this. He not only imparted to them the gospel, but he gave of his own life. The total package. And wouldn't that be wonderful if we had that kind of feeling one with another here at this chapel? And maybe it's already here. Continue that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this time we've spent together this morning.